This is 93.3 WMMR here in Philadelphia, and it is a great pleasure to welcome our friend Sully Erna of Godsmack. Good day, Sully.
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
I'm doing well. The question is, we've been catching up with a lot of our friends, and we've known you guys for a long time. And what we're curious about, among other things, is what you've been up to during this downtime.
Just been, you know, working on new music, and I'm doing a new show called Hometown Sessions on YouTube every Tuesday and Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern, where I'm just kind of starting to round up my friends and chat about life, chat about music, play some songs. You know, we're talking all different kinds of topics and just having a little bit of fun, giving some people just some more entertainment to help them pass time, things like that.
Yeah, I've really wanted to talk to you about Hometown Sessions because, as you said, and people can find it at youtube.com/Sully Erna. One of the things you wrote about it, you wrote, quote, "Yes, I have finally gone COVID crazy. If you've been looking to hang out with someone besides your parents, here's your chance."
Yeah. It's pretty fun, you know, and it's just something also, so I don't sit there and go stir crazy. You know, I have to stay busy. I just refuse to subscribe to the idea of this, you know, this is the new norm. It's not going to happen, and people need to relax and just know that, you know, this thing is going to pass just like everything else has passed in our past. You know, like the flu and HIV, you know, the swine flu and SARS and whatever else we've had. I just think it's going to really be up to us to get our heads together here and be responsible, do the right thing. You know, I'm not being disrespectful to people that are older and have illnesses. I know this is killing those kind of people. And it's not, you know, it's there and it's real. But at the same time, come on, it's like, you know, we're not going to be that kind of world that's going to walk around with masks forever and not shake each other's hands and give each other a hug. Humans aren't designed for that. We're not designed to be isolated and not have human contact. So I just think we have to be smart and take the lessons that this is giving us. Like, you know, don't sneeze in your hand and then shake my hand because, you know, that's gross to begin with. So it's good that it's going to help us pay attention to our hygiene more. You know, don't press elevator buttons and put your hands all over an escalator and then lick your hands or something like that. But at the same time, you know, I personally want to help promote, like, don't live in fear kind of thing. Because how we respond afterwards, how we dictate how we get back to what's normal is really up to us, you know. And it's not Armageddon, man. This isn't the end of the world. It's going to be okay. It's unfortunate that people have died from this. And, you know, it's a real mess. But, you know, I just don't want people getting traumatized to the point that they feel like they're never going to be able to get back to a normal world, because I'm not going to live in that kind of world. I'm going to hug my daughter. I'm going to shake my friend's hands, and I'm just going to be responsible, as we should be in general, with hygiene.
I fully agree that it will get back to normal at some point. What do you think about the folks who have been out saying, we got to get right back? And there's a small group of folks who are out there protesting. And there was an interesting scene where I saw a medical person who was saying, wait a minute, you know, you guys are blocking paths for ambulances to get to our hospital. And this lady in a truck was yelling at this medical guy who might be the person that's working to save her in a few weeks. What do you think of those protests that are going on?
The protests about people just trying to roll back out and get to work again,
right?
And that kind of thing.
In other words, they're kind of doing it unsafely. They're kind of jumping back into activity, saying, we demand that this all end and we go back to normal. And we will get back to normal, but in other words, it's not going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah. See, I think they get, you know, some people go too extreme one way, or the government goes too extreme the other way. Now, I get it. You know what I mean? We want to, like, kind of flatten the curve and all that stuff everywhere and get this thing as close to zero in the country as possible, and then deal with whatever we're going to do to find out how this happened, who was responsible, and what, you know, they need to do to kind of recoup and make this right. But at the same time, we can't just stay in forever, right? I mean, we just can't, because we'll destroy ourselves. And if we become that weak of a country, that's not good for us, period. So we do got to roll out, and we got to start making businesses important again. People got to get back to work, but they also have to be doing it in a responsible way. So right now, we know restaurants and things like that, they're not going to be as we knew it, but it doesn't mean it's going to stay that way forever. So get back to work, create your takeout new program, or space your tables apart 10 feet or whatever, and just take reservations from people that have been quarantining together so a family can go out and have a dinner and get out of the house and not go crazy. Don't, you know, do it in groups of 20 and things like that. But somehow slide into it in a way where it's safe and it's responsible, you know, and there is some risk, of course, but mitigate it. And, you know, we can't just go back out, you know, full on and start licking everyone's face. But, you know, you got to just kind of like, we got to start the process somewhere, somehow, and at least watch it, right? So like they're saying, maybe in the states that haven't been hit as hard and that kind of stuff, let it start and just watch it. You know, if this thing starts to spike, then, you know, you got to kill it down again or whatever. But I'm at the point myself where I'm kind of over this thing. Like, I feel like if we stay in it too much longer, I think it's going to change people too much for the long run. And that's bad, too.
But I mean, if you look at it historically, a 3 or 4 month period of inconvenience, and it is severe inconvenience, all the things you said, and everybody wants to get back. But in the scope of history, even the scope of a person's lifetime, it's a relatively small period to contain yourself for the benefits of beating this thing back.
I totally agree, man. But you also got to remember there's people that aren't in great positions to begin with. And can you imagine? Listen, I live in a fairly nice house. I've done pretty good for myself, right? I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that, like, I'm doing okay financially. I had a good year last year. I live in a nice house. I have some space. But imagine the people that are living paycheck to paycheck, and one guy's working two jobs, taking care of three kids and a wife that live in a 1,000-square-foot apartment, and things are already tense as it is. And then you throw this on top, and now the government's money has run out to help fund these people. Like, I don't want to see other things trigger, is my point.
Right. No,
you know,
I get
domestic
you.
Violence is up. Addiction is up. Suicide rates are up. You know, we have to make sure we control our destiny. We are the people. We the people, right? So we also have to find that balance.
Right. It's a balance.
Because, listen, I will tell you this. If the government tracked any flu any year and tracked it as closely as they did this. Now, I'm not saying this one isn't more contagious and a little more deadly and that kind of stuff. But it is a flu and it's a virus. And I'm just saying that if they were to track any flu any year that kills more than 20,000 people and infects millions, they would have freaked out America every time the flu came around.
Yeah,
right?
But this is way, way, way worse than that. This is 1,000 times worse than those.
You're right. It's not trying to be disrespectful to elderly or anything like that.
It's not just elderly either. It's a lot of middle age and even young people have gotten this. It's not exclusive to elderly.
See, yeah, dude, you know what? Me and you are on a different page then, because I'm not going to live in fear like that. You're a part of the reason why the media is thriving.
No, not at all. I totally understand what you're saying, and I agree with it. I'm just saying, you know, I think what you said is accurate, that it's a balance, you know, and striking that balance is where the thing comes. You know, I think there'll come a time where we look back and this will be, like you said, in our rearview mirror, where we can, you know, where we go, God, that was awful, but we got through it. And like you say, there'll be a time we can hug people again and, you know, shake hands again.
Well, that plays into my point. It will be a thing of the past. And that's why I'm saying I just hope there's a way to control the people's way of thinking as well. Because when they're stuck and always just hearing that, like, you get this, this kills. Like, and that's the bottom line. That's not the bottom line, man. There's other parts to that. And you got to be thorough about what you're saying, because otherwise people are just going to be traumatized and they're never going to want to get back to being a normal world again. They're going to be too freaked out. They're not going to want to touch, shake hands, be a normal human being. We're not designed to not have human contact. I'm personally not going to subscribe to that being the new norm, you know, but I agree. If they could just be a little bit more thorough on explaining to people that, like, listen, it's just, we got to get through this. And then, you know, in months from now, we feel like when we eradicate this thing, like, we'll be okay. But for now, if you're going to open a business, if you're going to do things on a small level, and it's okay to do it in those areas because they've approved it, do it responsibly, because there are other people out there that will not respond to this as well as some of us, for instance, that are younger and stronger, and maybe it won't hit us as hard, right? So
yeah,
that's the thing, is I'm not being dumb about it. I'm being responsible. My daughter is super asthmatic. I don't want her catching this crap. But at the same time, I don't want her feeling like, you know, when all this is said and done, that she's been so shell-shocked from it that, you know, she doesn't know how to be human again. Like, people are going really deep into that side, and I don't know, man. I'm so over talking about COVID.
I get it. We are speaking with Sully Erna here on MMR, and Sully's got a new program. It's called Hometown Sessions. It's a YouTube series. And tell us what you've done in the series so far, who you've had on, because it sounds really interesting the way you want to take this.
Yeah, you know, it's just trial and error right now. I wanted to do a show a while back called Hometown Sessions, but it was more of take it on the road, try to have some celebrities, musician friends of mine, bring them back to their hometown, have them show us around their neighborhoods, where they went to school, what kind of house they grew up in, you know, how they got from point A to point B and not born rich rock stars or something, and hear their story, and maybe have every session end with, you know, them sitting on their childhood porch and playing us an acoustic version of maybe whatever their first hit song was or something like that. But then this whole thing started going down, and I was thinking, well, I have to do this safely and from a location. So I started to build it as a live stream thing. And so really what I've been helping it design itself to be is bringing people on and helping them promote the things they want to promote. If there's certain foundations or organizations that are important to them, talk about real issues beyond music. You know, whether it's people battling their fears and anxieties because of this thing triggering more health issues than they already had with mental health awareness and stuff like that, or just mainly entertaining people to give them some performances, to make them laugh a little bit, have special guests on and help them pass time. Because I think the one thing me and you will agree on is like time heals everything. And I think that's our biggest challenge right now, is just getting some time behind us, because in time things will calm down, things will heal, and they'll pass, and we'll get back to normal again. So I think myself, other artists I know, you know, there's a lot going on the internet right now, and I'm just trying to do my part in helping not only create some entertainment for people to help pass their days, but also for me, so I don't go bananas sitting around every day not doing anything.
I gotcha. Who have you had on? Who would you like to have on?
So far, the first episode I featured the Unforgettable video, because we had just dropped it, and it was a good way to kind of intro the show, tell people about the show, what I'm going to do, and how music will always be the thread, no matter what topics we get into. And I featured the you know, the middle school kids and the new generation that has inspired that video. And that whole thing. The second episode was more based on the Scars Foundation, which is our nonprofit charity that helps people with suicide prevention, severe depression, addiction, bullying, stuff like that. And I had my drummer come on, who talked about his own recovery and a mental health therapist that, you know, helped people with some advice, and also offered to go on our Scars Foundation Facebook group every day, 5 days a week, for 2 hours a day, and give people free sessions, which I thought was really generous.
Very cool.
We just had Mistress Carrie and my friend Sheena on, who Mistress Carrie was the DJ for WAAF in Boston. It was the biggest rock station in Boston before they went under. And we did a empowerment of women kind of episode, where it's called Badass Bitches of Rock.
Very cool.
Eddie Trunk from That Metal Show.
Nice.
And from there, I'm going to be, you know, working with some other people like Brent from Shinedown and Nuno Bettencourt, and on it goes from there. And again, we're just going to try to keep it positive, entertain, get some performances out of these people, and, you know, talk about life and music and everything, you know, in between.
That's perfect. I want to go back to Unforgettable, because it wasn't too long ago you unveiled the video for Unforgettable. So cool. It's from the When Legends Rise record. You invited 400 music students to this shoot. Tell us about this.
Well, it started when I wrote the song. As I finished it, it was the winter of 2017. We were working on the Legends Rise record. And the chorus was just kind of dictating to me that it needed a big gang vocal kind of melody. And so once I finished the song, we were trying to do a gang vocal with, you know, the guys, and it just wasn't sounding big enough. And then it dawned on me that it kind of needed like a big kid chorus. And for that reason, I was just like, you know, I don't know if I want to do this, because there's been a lot of bands that have done those kind of big kid choruses.
Right.
And then I was like, the hell with it. You know, we don't have one of them in our portfolio, so I guess we'll try it. And I've always worked with the children in my area with different organizations that help keep kids off the streets from drugs and alcohol and violence and, you know, going down the wrong path. And so I started to reach out to those people that connected me with the school systems. And I invited 20 kids in to learn the song, sing the song. And then as the journey went on and we took the album on the road, we included those kids anytime we did something with the song Unforgettable. So when we came through New England, we had them come up on stage and sing live with us. And then I took them to New York at some point, showed them a little bit more about the industry. If they really wanted to continue as musicians and go down this road, I wanted them to be a little bit more realistic about the business side of it. And we documented this over the last 2 years, all the way up until doing the actual video, where I knew I had to kind of amplify it and make it 10 times bigger than, you know, the 20 kids. So, you know, I auditioned probably 100 drummers, and we picked the best 30, 35 drummers. And we had all them playing with us in the video. So there's more than 30 drummers playing at the same time. And I think more than 300 middle school kids singing with us.
So cool.
And we that was the last bit to it. So it really was like a 2-year journey with these kids. And we wanted them to have the reward of shooting the video with us at the end. And that's what the video has become, was just a documentation of those last 2 years.
We are speaking with Sully Erna here on MMR from Godsmack, and you've got a lot of things going. You did have a tour in the works for this summer, which I think was going to start in July, go through September, with Pretty Reckless, an amazing band, Taylor Momsen and company. and, of course, that had to get canceled. One of the things that I've thought of in terms of folks that are out of work that you don't hear about that often is road crews. And as you well know, but listeners might not, road crews, those, you know, they're both local and bands have them, and national touring crews. They don't have, for the most part, 401ks and medical insurance and stuff like that. And those guys and gals live tour to tour. A tour ends, they jump to another one. That's how they make their living. And it's a very in the moment kind of thing. A lot of those folks are without work and will be for a while. So our thoughts are always with them. I don't know if you have regular crew you always use or if you've changed up a lot over the years, but how are they doing?
They seem to be doing good. We check in with each other. You know, we have a very close family that we call our crew, and have always been that way when it comes to touring. You know, we spent so many years on the road, so many decades, that it's important that the people you surround yourself with are family. And so, you know, all the techs, the front of house engineers, lighting directors, monitors, backline crew, you know, everybody that is involved with us has been in our lives for a very long time. And it's important, you know, it's an important relationship that we always maintain. So even in times like this, we keep in touch and check in with each other, and sometimes even hang out with each other when we're within range. A bunch of my crew lives close to me, so I see them, you know, here at the studio. We do, you know, we work on new music and, you know, whatever we can do for these kind of shows and things like that that we're doing on YouTube. So just trying to stay busy, you know, staying safe, being responsible again with this whole thing, but keeping ourselves busy and making sure that, you know, we stay in contact. Because I don't know how you feel, man, but at this point, I think what frustrates me the most is I miss people.
Yeah.
You know, I miss like having that intimacy of having your friends over for dinner and having a few beers together. And like, that's the part I miss more than being out there and making money and, you know, and whatever else. Like, I don't miss that stuff. And it's funny, even some of my friends that own restaurants around here were saying the same thing. They're like, man, I miss the people. I don't even care about the money right now. Like, you know, we need it. We're hurting. We got to pay our bills. But it just stinks when you go in there and like all the lights are off and it's just the owner and his wife in the kitchen in the back cooking for takeout orders. And, you know, you got this piece of tape that you got to stand behind, and you go up and get your takeout and leave your credit card and you back up. And it's like, God, he goes, I hate this so much. It's like he misses just sitting with his regulars and saying hi to Joe, whoever. And it's that kind of thing that I think people are starting to really miss, you know?
Well, you've said that playing live is your favorite part about being in a band, and studio work can be tedious, but I understand you guys are working for a new record that'll be out sometime in 2021. First of all, can you tell us anything about the new album and how it's going thus far?
Yeah, I can't, because we're at the very beginning baby stages of starting to crack open that wound and trying to
that wound?
Channel.
Why do you call it a wound?
Yeah, because that's how it is for me. Like, it's like I got to open up a part of me and my vulnerability in order to write music, because I always write about things that affect me on an emotional level. I don't make up stories and tell fairy tales in my songs. I always write about something that's real to me that affected me somehow, whether good or bad, but just something. So in order for me to get to that space of creativity, sometimes it just takes a while to get back into that writing mode. And, you know, when you're in touring mode, for instance, you shut all that off, because then you're just in touring mode. After you come out of writing mode, you get into recording mode, and then your ears get tuned to mixing and the detailing of the music and how you want it to sound and how you want people to hear it. You know, you go from like recording to mixing to touring, and it's been a while since you wrote music. And for me, that's how I work. Like, I tackle one thing in front of me at a time. And so now I know that it's time to get back into being creative, and I just haven't quite opened up that channel yet. Although I'm trying, and I'm noodling with it, but I'm not there yet.
Brandon Boyd from Incubus told me, he said when he brings a song to the band, that's one of the most painful times, because you're sort of vulnerable. You've created this new creation, and you're bringing that music to the group as a whole. And then if you're a tight enough band, the other members might go, "Nah, I don't like that part. I don't like that part." And they start picking at it. I don't know if that's the case for you or if that resonates for you or not.
Not so much. The band trusts me. You know, they've always kind of considered me their fearless leader, and they've known that the vision that I've had since the beginning has helped us get to where we are. But at the same time, they bring me a lot of great stuff. They work separately from me and create music and send it to me. And I work separately from them, and I create music and I send it to them. And then we get together and we create a batch of music together, you know. So in times like this, they're off working and doing their thing anyways. I'm doing my thing. And then there is a time where we start to get together and just try jamming and see if we can get a collection of songs that way as well. And then I'll also go off and I'll work with like separate writers, and I'll do some co-writes with other people, because it's always interesting to hear other styles of writers and what their spin on what Godsmack should sound like is. Because sometimes it's cool and you get little nuggets, you know, even if the whole song isn't exactly what you love, there could be a great melody or a great riff that's really hooking. And so you take a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and you create what you need to create. And sometimes it just takes a grain of sand to create a mountain, you know. It's just that gets me out of my blocked, you know, place at times. Like, someone feeds me a little thing and I can take it and write a whole record with it.
That's very cool. I know you got to get going. I don't want to take too much more of your time, but I've loved the covers that you guys have put out over the years. You know, everything from covering Joe Walsh to Beatles to, you know, Led Zeppelin. Tell us about the covers and how you came to do those, and if there are more in store that are on the way.
I'm trying to think of what covers we did. It's been so long.
You did Rocky Mountain Way. You did Come Together.
Oh, those guys. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you did Good Times, Bad Times from Led Zeppelin,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I think we did that Come Together and Time by Pink Floyd, I think.
I saw you do them in concert, and you were telling the story of them, and it was really cool because one might not expect, you know, Godsmack to do Come Together or Rocky Mountain Way. When a band does any cover, I'm always fascinated by what they might choose and what brought them to that particular song. And I always think it's an interesting story at any given time.
Honestly, man, it's been a while. You know, that came out on a live record that we did back in, God, what was it, 2014? I don't even know when it was. I don't even remember. Was it 2010 or 2014? I really don't remember. It's been a while.
It has been a while, but we still play them, which is why I ask, and I'm just curious.
You know, listen, we're just fans, you know, and the record, the live record that we did was called Live and Inspired, and that was exactly why we did it, because the record was live, but we also wanted to show people what inspires us and what we grew up with. And so we try to pick a decent handful of songs that, you know, we grew up with and really loved and that were kind of iconic songs as well. And so we chose those purposely, you know, to be able to be like a bonus tracks on that live record. So we chose, you know, Rocky Mountain Way. We chose Come Together. We chose Time by Pink Floyd. And I think I even did like a piano version of Nothing Else Matters by Metallica.
Right.
Some things like that. We actually did a cover of In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins.
Really?
It didn't make the record for some reason. And I don't know whatever happened to the version, but it was really, it was a cool version. I wish I could find it.
Well, we wish you all the best. I thank you for taking some time to talk with us. I know you'd love to be back on the road, and someday that will happen, and I can't wait. I mean, I love concerts. I go to several hundred a year, probably, and you know, and you play several hundred a year, and you know what it's like to be on the road and the joy. It can be, you know, tough for a working band, too, but there's that joy of when the lights go down and the band hits the stage. Every time I see a show, there's nothing quite like it, you know, and I don't want to be 6 feet from someone. I want to be right next to people who are feeling that same experience that I am, and that day will come. I can't wait for it, and I know you can't either.
It will, man. We have to keep the faith, be optimistic, do our part, be responsible, stay healthy, stay safe, think about the elderly, think about the sick, think about, you know, just people that could really be affected by this even faster and more drastically than other people can. And so even if you're not worried about yourself, you know, be responsible for other people. That's what I really want to help people understand, but also keep the faith because, you know, this is going to be a time in the past at some point, and we just need to get it back together. And so everyone does their part, we'll be good.
And remember, somebody's always got it worse than you. Important to remember.
That's right, man. We're all yearning for the same thing. I think that's the real message here. But we all have to be responsible. So, you know, we're in this thing together. Let's just ride it out. We've gotten this far. If we keep doing this, it won't be that much longer. It can't be, right? I mean, the virus, if you do your part, the virus has nowhere to go. So that's kind of the theory behind this, is like try to trap this thing so it dies at some point rather than getting out there and just, you know, running amok. And then all of a sudden it starts spiking everywhere again. So,
well, you're
and then I hope we smash China over the head with a big fat bill. And that's how I'm going to end that conversation.
Okay. We'll leave that at that. The show is Hometown Sessions. It's on YouTube. You can go to youtube.com/SullyErna. It's at 6 p.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays Eastern Standard Time. I wish you great success with that and look forward to checking more of them out. And I thank you, Sully Erna, for spending some time with us on MMR.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. Stay healthy. We'll see you again soon.
All right. All the best to you, my friend.
Take care, bye.
Take care, bye-bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.